now. Get bigger, brighter diamonds and free financing. Great gifts for anybody's budget. Robert Irwin Jewelers, four convenient locations, or online at rijewelers.com.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was blissing, I ain't hating, no, cause now I'm getting hot enough to f*** with one and stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed to mention. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke, whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated, that mean my table. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail, clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, who that, that got that flame? Who that, that got that flame? Who that, that got that flame? So don't worry about my name, I gotta say.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It is December 6th. It's Thursday, John Martin. Do you know what that means? Yeah. Bennett nailed it. He nailed it. John, the Grizzlies are winners again. They stopped a little two-game slide at home in home games. In that, pick up a 96-86 win over previously Western Conference leading the previously Western Conference leading Los Angeles Clippers. It was a good win last night, John Martin. A lot to talk about from that one. You got a big one tonight for Bennett Doyle, the Titans, in action on Thursday Night Football. How will they finish this season, John Martin? Let Titans fans know what they need to think.
Yeah, I would think, I would tell you.
3-1 possible?
No, even if it is, it doesn't really matter.
Give up, he says to you, Titans fans. Don't even watch tonight.
Don't worry.
You'll be let down.
Just change your expectations.
John has told you
lower them.
What to think.
Lower them. Lots to get to here on the show today. We will obviously talk about the debut of former Defensive Player of the Year, Joakim Noah. Wow, what a debut last night. I mean, everywhere I look, Connor's falling in love.
Yeah.
Connor's falling in love.
I'm in love again. I used to root for him when he was a bull.
Connor's falling in love. Connor was very much in love last night. You know how I know? Because he tweeted about it 3 different times.
He did tweet about it. He said he was in love.
And I think we need to embrace that. I think we need to embrace, you know, when we love things.
We will.
As men, as grown men, we need to not be worried about that. When you love something and when you fall in love, it's okay to express your emotions.
I feel like you're being a little tongue-in-cheek right now.
Oh,
there's a real conversation to be had on this.
No.
Our man, the Blanket, made a great point on this off-air. We're going to talk about it, John, and you're not going to be tongue-in-cheek about it.
I'm not tongue-in-cheek at
you're
all
You're going to be real about it.
Oh, that's what I am going to be about it. There's no question about it. So here's what we got going on the show today. We have put together an entire highlight package based around Joakim Noah. Based on his debut last night. So we will get to that in just a minute. At 11:25, we're going to be joined by Mike Oresko. He is the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference. He's obviously been a very busy man the last few weeks, kind of just campaigning for UCF, right?
I mean, when you only got a campaign for one school.
Yep, that's kind of just...
I'm kidding.
Well, I mean
it's
fairness,
their champion
yes.
right now. I mean, that's what you're going to do.
Two years in a row. And they haven't lost in 2 years.
The fact is, they deserve to be campaigned for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hold no ill will against them. For
no, I mean, if it was Memphis,
season.
He'd be campaigning for Memphis.
I'm a little jealous, probably, just naturally. I'm willing to admit that. But, yeah, I understand what the job he's doing right now.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Mike Oresko at 11:25. And yes, we're going to ask him about the officiating. Not that it necessarily matters today. But we would definitely like to get a comment from him because... that was a fairly egregious performance there from the officiating crew in the championship game. So we will definitely talk to Mike Oresko about that. But we'll also ask him about just, you know, his job and the fact that he does have an undefeated team 2 years in a row and the fact that that team doesn't really even come close to being in the playoff. And just in his mind, if the system is broken, how broken it is, how can it be fixed? We'll ask him about the television deal, which obviously impacts the University of Memphis. So a lot to get to with Mike Oresko.
I got one. I want to hear him campaigning for Daryl Henderson for Doak Walker Award tonight at the College Football Awards. That's what I want to hear, John Martin.
Yep, so we will talk to him about that at 11:25. At 12:25, we're going to be joined by Joe Theismann. We'll talk to Joe Theismann about the NFL. Lots to get to with him.
Crazy year for his skins.
In the NFL. Indeed, it has.
Remember, he predicted they could win the division.
Yes.
If they could have kept a quarterback healthy, they might have. At one point, they were on top, John.
Yeah, they were. And
when he said that, I think we sort of snickered, and he ended up being, you know, they got off to the start they needed. They just, man, snake bitten.
Alex Smith obviously had an injury that was that Joe said looked eerily similar to his own.
And then McCoy, I know, you know, different part, but then he breaks his leg.
Yep. So we'll talk to Joe about all of that at 12:25. And then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by Jeff Calkins, who really wants us to ask him.
He's a champion of radio.
About the Wing Guru Burger, because he had it yesterday.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he really, really, like, he said to me.
This is his first time.
Five separate times. I'm not even exaggerating. Ask me about the Wing Guru Burger. I want to talk about the Wing Guru Burger. I'll talk about the Wing Guru Burger.
I've been telling y'all not to sleep on his gourmet burger.
No, you have said that.
Commercial, and now when I'm saying it, the gourmet burger. Do not sleep on Billy's gourmet burger.
I think people
apparently had been sleeping. Now he's awake. He's woke.
I think people have come to respect you and you know, and trust you when it comes to these things. So it's not just an ad. You wouldn't say it if you didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to talk to Jeff Calkins, obviously, about the Wing Guru Burger and some Grizzlies and Tigers at 1:25.
Maybe a little joking with him.
Maybe so. Maybe so, because he made his debut last night. And, yes, it was it's a really great story, frankly, because the guy has been through it. Now, he did sign a very handsome contract with the New York Knicks, for which, if I were in his shoes, I would be very thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was $72 million over 4 years. So it's a lot of money, a lot of money. And it clearly did not work out for him there in New York. He was basically hurt for the majority of his tenure there. And ultimately they came to an agreement. They bought him out. And he wondered whether he would ever probably be on an NBA roster again. And he was on an NBA roster again because the Memphis Grizzlies picked him up. And last night was his debut, Jason. Last night was his debut in a Memphis Grizzlies uniform. And how would we characterize it, Jason?
We'll just let you know what it sounded like.
Keeps the dribble alive, but back to Morris for a loud two. Nice, playing extremely well. Noah with a primal scream after throwing that one down.
Joakim
Noah picked out the roll, man. That's Joakim Noah.
These Noah are in the paint for the flush.
Joakim Noah.
Noah with the stuff.
Joakim Noah.
The other and finds Noah goes loud to the hoop. There's Noah, and he dunks it.
Oh, nice pass right there, Mike Dunleavy.
Augustine, back to Noah. Beautifully done.
Hey, how about the quickness?
Nice pass. Nice play as Noah was able to get it off the touch.
To Noah. There you go.
Gets it back to Noah. Give it back to the big fella.
Oh,
meet me at the rim. Bounce, and then there you go. Goes inside.
Obviously, all that happened last night. His debut for the Memphis Grizzlies.
He's a screamer.
Plays with just such emotion. You can hear it. Every rebound, every jog up and down the court, he's screaming at the top of his lungs. A primal scream, right? Right, Jason, isn't that what he does?
Joakim mood forever, I believe Fox Sports Grizzlies tweeted out last night. It was sort of a celebration last night, wasn't it, John? It was almost like a homecoming,
it was.
Joakim coming back. We got so excited over a dude that had 4-3.
It don't take much.
I mean, 4-3.
It don't
now,
take much.
That said, listen, I understand it as a long-time and now suffering Chicago Bulls fan. I understand what Joakim can mean to an organization. And I'm going to go to it. I'm going to give this man credit because I thought he made a great point this morning. I'm not sure there's any franchise or any city that could understand this better than Memphis. Joakim Noah. Bennett, why don't you make the point? Because this man brought this up to me this morning. I think he's absolutely right. Bennett, I don't want to steal your thunder. Tell the folks why Joakim works so well here.
No,
why are we so excited?
It didn't work out in New York City because what do they want in New York City? They give the guy a big contract, and, of course, they want, like, scoring, and they want the defense, too, and everything like that. But here—
That contract's crazy.
And the contract was insane. But here, it's different because— We don't need the points from him, and we're cool with that. Like, this city knows what it's like to have guys on the team that contribute in different ways other than scoring the basketball. And I think that it's just a different situation here because of the identity that the Grizzlies have carved out over the past couple years as a franchise that this dude don't need to come in here and score points for us to embrace him and appreciate what he's going to do for the team.
Bennett, you nailed it. You nailed it. 4-3, John. We're looking at it. You know, it's easy to go, can you look at these tweets? But that's what it is. Mm-hmm. We embrace it more than anybody. We're the folks that had Tony Allen. You know what I mean? And it wasn't about scoring. It was about what else he brought. It's just as Bennett said, for, you know, changing an energy level. And I'll be danged if Joakim didn't do that last night. In those 4-3, you know, 4 points, 3 rebounds, John. And in those, you know, there was one scream last night. Mm-hmm. It felt like a million. And I feel like there'll be a million more.
Yeah.
But in that, John, he changed the energy yesterday.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That addition will help this team, especially with the way it plays and what he's capable of bringing at this stage.
Yeah, listen, oh, I mean,
look, we said 5-5.
Yeah.
Got 4-3.
Exactly.
We're on pace.
But there's no pace. I wouldn't even look at it like that. You shouldn't even look at it like that. You should just look at it like Joakim was brought here to serve a purpose. What is that purpose? For the most part, getting Mark off the floor and being a serviceable replacement while he's out of the game.
It's kind of like old Leroy. You remember Leroy Horde?
Nope.
How about you, Bennett?
I'm unfamiliar. Please explain.
Old running back for the Browns, if I'm not mistaken. My dad used to talk about something old Leroy said. Old Leroy used to like to say, if you need 1 yard, I'll get you 3. If you need 5, I'll get you 3. That's what Joakim Noah's bringing. Okay? That's what Joakim's bringing here. All right? Don't ask for much.
Is that true?
It's true.
That quote is amazing.
My father and I have gone back and forth on that for years and laughed about it for years. Now
listen, shocker that he played for the Browns.
That's what Joakim brings to the table. Going to give you a little bit more probably than you expect. Now, you expect too much, you get a little crazy like those Knicks, obviously, and you would because of the contract, because of what Phil gave him. Phil was a fool. Right?
Yeah.
You expect too much, then you're going to be disappointed. But, Bennett, I'm going back to it because I think it's a great point.
Joakim Noah is Leroy Horde.
Nobody is going to appreciate this man more than us. And that's why you saw the tweets last night. That's why you saw the love for a guy that had 4-3s out there screaming. He changes things. We understand that because we had, as Bennett points out, Tony Allen, man, we've been through this before. That's a different level, obviously. Tony had a different point in his career, and Joakim now, obviously, a different point in his career. But what he can bring is tangible. It's tangible. Are you okay?
No, dude, I cannot stop thinking about that quote.
You love that, huh?
Dude, Leroy Horde is a legend.
Yeah, he was. Toughness.
No, I don't know.
Toughness embodied.
Just a 3 yard.
Toughness embodied.
Just a 3 yard for carry. Damn, yeah. Running.
That's
back.
What he was all his career, and, baby, and he knew what he was.
No doubt. And I think that is
sounds like Lindell White.
That is the way to that is the way to look at Joakim. I think to look at him in the other way would be unfair to him. You know, he's here for nothing. I mean, he's here playing.
He'll have games where he got, you know, 0-0.
Yeah.
Imagine he's out there less than a minute because he can't run the floor. He's out of, and he's got to get back in shape, clearly.
Y'all need
but
to.
But you saw what he can bring last night.
I mean, no question. But I think people need to look
at the
Joakim Noah era in Memphis to the extent that it is an era at all. The way that Joakim Noah looks at the Joakim Noah era in Memphis, which is he was asked last night, does he have any expectations? He said no. And so neither should you. Like, no one should really have any expectations for Joakim Noah.
5-5 and, you know,
I don't really. I think the only thing you should really expect from him is to, again, to preserve Mark.
That's it. That's what that is when we say 5-5 and 4-4. Just talking about filling in a little bit and bringing some energy.
We can't go from 5-5 to 4-3 and then keep taking it down.
Oh, it's not. I mean, it's the same thing.
So let's just keep it at 4-3.
And we're not asking for 10-8.
I think if we do that, everybody will be happy.
Yeah. Everybody's gone. It's going to be hard to not be happy with this dude,
I'm happy for
him. Your big thing was low risk, you know, bit not saying how, you know, good, pretty good reward. You were bringing that reward on down.
Correct.
And no, the reward is you selling Mark Gasol, who you guys have seen it, needs the rest right now. He don't look right. He doesn't look right now. We spent a lot of time on Joakim. Dude, how about the Mike Conley runner? Jalen Rose was talking about it this morning on Get Up. I mean, you know, obviously the game's fantastic. You get a win over a very good Clippers team. I just got to keep on thinking that at some point it's going to come back down to earth. But Mike Conley, at the end of the first half, you see that runner? It's the offhand.
Mm-hmm.
It's his offhand from three.
Yep. Yep.
Nobody can do that.
Rob Perez, who works for the Action Network, had an amazing tweet last night.
You can also catch him weekly on the Eric Hasseltine show.
Okay, there you go. He's weekly. Yeah. Okay. He said, "I am in love with the Grizzlies. They are a giant pothole in the middle of the highway as these Lamborghini NBA offenses drive around with the tops down."
It was a great tweet.
Is that not like the most Grizzlies thing ever?
Yeah, it was a pretty good tweet. That's a really good tweet.
This is the fifth time this year that the Grizzlies have held a team to less than 90 points. I guess fewer than 90 points would actually be the grammatically correct way to put that. Fewer than 90 points this year.
You would take issue with that fine tweet, but you're right. You got them on the grammatical.
Got them on that one.
Yeah, on the
be
grammar.
Be better, Rob. Be better. But it's a perfect description, and that was a big-time win last night. It was one day in a tough December. The objective it really should be to take care of home, right? To take care of the games, because it's, as we've already outlined,
8-3 at home. I mean, that's where you got to take care of business.
Yeah, it's a hell of a schedule in the month of December, and you could easily at the end of it be at 500.
Yeah, it's one we've looked at and said you could easily go, you know, 6-9, 7-8, just because you're talking about, you know, two teams on this schedule in December that have got losing records at this point. Everybody else super either right there at 500 or better. This is going to be a tough month. And so you had to pick up a win last night against the team, as we said, and you kind of saw it in the fourth quarter, was on its, third game in four nights. You needed to impose your best part of that game was that over the last few, right, the wins and losses, even the Brooklyn one where, you know, you go double overtime, you hadn't really been able to impose your slowdown, get this thing to our pace, Will.
Yep.
You've been playing another game, even against the Knicks, you know, in that loss. You'd been playing their game. Last night you got back to playing your game. You saw it with the Clippers in the fourth quarter. You suffocated them, and it showed up. What was 27-17 the fourth quarter? It showed up then. You got to take care of those. There's no question about it. You got to take care of those. Mike Conley was fantastic. There's no way you can do a whole opening segment on the Grizzlies and not give Jermichael Green a little love last night, his first double-double. He played well. We'd said somebody else has got to step up. Felt like Shelvin Mack and Temple have kind of maximized things in terms of what they can give you, probably kind of at the end of their rope in terms of fatigue.
Wow.
And last night, Jermichael Green steps up and gives you a very good game with 19 points and 11 rebounds.
I saw the Shelvin hate.
Bruh.
And you saw he came through in that fourth quarter.
Man, when he was messing up those breaks, like, it was ugly.
But he couldn't, and
he's in a slump.
He came through when it counted.
But he came through.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, there was so much Shelvin hate on Twitter yesterday before he came through in the end. Folks had to eat a little humble pie. Now, I don't know if he's still the revelation that you called him at the beginning of the season, John, but don't forget, I was having this conversation with Andy Sain, who was one of the ones dogging him. This dude won games for you earlier on this season. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Utah? And now you just want to chunk him off? I know some of it is frustration, right, that they haven't, you know, that Carter's not here. He's down. He's shooting the ball well for the hustle. You look at that and you see guys that are clearly fatigued, and you're wondering, hey, come bring him up, play him some minutes. You know, could he take some of the pressure off? But this ain't Shelvin Mack. Shelvin Mack's done just about anything that you've asked of him at this point. Yes, he's reverted back to the mean. You've heard that a lot these last few days. That was always bound to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're tweeting like the guy's trash now. He won you big games. He's been a big part of this good start for the Grizzlies. Yes, he shouldn't be playing this many minutes. But you can't treat the guy like he's trash now. Got one game for you, John Martin. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This was always going to happen.
Yes.
And he's in a slump, but he's still shooting 40% from three. And as Bennett points out, hit some big shots for you there at the end last night. Finally kind of woke up out of that haze he was in. He couldn't even run a break for a minute.
I think it's because someone tore his jersey.
What I was thinking.
Someone tore his jersey last night, man. He had like a piece of his jersey
hanging off.
What I was thinking about last night as the Grizzlies were taking on the Clippers is just how much I miss
what that game used to mean. Because it doesn't really mean anything anymore. And
the question to JB about rivalry almost felt forced in the post.
It was.
Because that story, you know, and it did. And it felt, it just makes it, and that's part of it. Because it's not the same. It's clearly not the same.
The cast of characters, everybody, DeAndre Jordan is gone. Chris Paul is gone. Tony Allen is gone. Zach Randolph is gone. Blake Griffin is gone. All those guys are gone.
The characters are gone.
You know,
you got to have some of the characters.
I used to talk to you about how lit the forum would be. You know, when the Clippers came to town, and it was. I mean, it was a crazy atmosphere. But it's gone now. It is complete. I mean, if you see people on Twitter saying how much they hate the Clippers, like it's manufactured, and it's just based on what the Clippers used to look like.
Because
I don't know. I don't feel anything anymore. I mean, I used to, but I don't really feel anything anymore.
Well, I think one thing, and I think Jeff was making this point yesterday, like you look at that team and it's like, dude, there's like guys on that team that would make good Grizzlies. Like there's a lot more respect now, you know.
I could see an Avery Bradley over here.
It's not a group of babies was back during the rivalry.
No question. Yeah.
I just have a hard time, you know, rooting against Lou Williams, hating him. And what's ever Lou ever done to us?
Right.
Other than, you know, he's won some games obviously against the Grizzlies, all that stuff, but he's just not one of them dudes that's killed you in clutch moments that you hate. Like to your point, the characters are different.
But good win for the Grizz last night for sure. Joakim Noah makes his debut, has 4-3, and the entire city's in love. So congratulations.
Embrace it, John.
To the Grizzlies. And no, it's a good story. I'm happy for Joakim that he's back in the NBA and he's playing again. And that seems to be all he really wanted to do. And he's found a home, and it looks to be like it's going to work. All right, when we come back, Mike Oresko is going to join us. We will talk to him about UCF, about the championship game, about the television contract, and more when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is what people are saying about James Gaddis Jewelers.
We love James Gaddis Jewelers. Everyone there is so friendly. My husband designed my engagement ring there, and we got his wedding ring there, too, because we like the people that work there so much. They treat us like we're the most important customers in the store. James Gaddis is our jeweler.
I purchased my wife's engagement ring and wedding ring at James Gaddis Jewelers and experienced nothing but really excellent service and value. They greeted me by name every time I went into the store and helped me find just the right ring I was looking for. She absolutely loves it, and I wouldn't go anywhere else but Gaddis Jewelers.
She'll never forget the year you gave her a gift from James Gaddis Jewelers. Hi, this is James Gaddis. This year, let us be your holiday destination and see why we've been voted the best jewelry store. Come shop with us at 4900 Poplar at Mendenhall and continue the family tradition at James Gaddis Jewelers.
JoJo Abbas works at Oak Hall. She got a call the other day from a customer who wanted a FaceTime with her so she could help him pick out his clothes. And so that's what she did, because that's the kind of above and beyond service you can get at Oak Hall. JoJo may be the perfect example of that. She actually got her start at her father's men's store. When that closed down, she waited a couple years, then joined the staff at Oak Hall. That was 18 years ago. Now, as she puts it, I can't go anywhere without seeing someone I know. I love my customers. All of us go above and beyond. That's an easy thing to say, of course, about going above and beyond, but JoJo has been to the homes of customers to help them clean out their closets. She'll send pictures of shirts and suits to customers who want to save time while they shop. And you don't have to be a 30 or 40 or 20 or 50-year customer to get treated this way. At Oak Hall, it's how they treat everyone who comes through the door. So stop by and let the remarkable employees of Oak Hall help you. As Clay Tidwell, another legendary employee, once put it, always look your best.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-375-2621. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-375-2621 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-375-2621 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-375-2621.
The best pros put a little extra into everything they do. At the Home Depot, so do we.
It's called Pro Extra, with member access to exclusive money-saving offers. Up to 20% off paints, stains, and primers every day. And $20 off your first purchase over $200 just for signing up. That's a lot more than a little extra. Pro Extra, only for pros, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Visit the Pro Desk in-store for details.
Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers is always on the cutting edge, and you've done it again.
We brought you a new choice in diamonds. We've got altar-created diamonds exclusively at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and what that does for you is give you the opportunity to save 25 to 30% and get a bigger and brighter diamond.
And how is that possible?
Altar-created diamonds are grown above ground, making them environmentally friendly and 100% conflict-free.
Howie, can you tell the difference?
What difference? They're both diamonds. See for yourself only at Robert Irwin Jewelers with free financing.
The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar on Highland is Memphis' hottest new spot for great plate lunches. Take a look at the menu and specials anytime at thebluffmemphis.com. Guests appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wayne Guru. This is Sports Station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, his name is Mike Oresko. He is the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, and he joins us now. Mike, how are you? Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Is this John?
This is John.
Or Jason?
Yeah, this is John.
Thank you.
Yeah,
great to be with both of you. I'm in a hotel lobby. I guess they're cleaning my room right now. I just got back from the Sports Business Journal seminar the second day. So I hope there's no background noise. I think I got a private spot here. But great to be on with you, gentlemen. Thank you.
No, it sounds great. So Mike, we obviously have a lot that we want to touch on. But I wanted to first ask you, does your job as the AAC commissioner ever get exhausting? Because you obviously are there on the front lines. It feels like having to defend the merit of the conference every time you turn around. Does that ever get exhausting?
Well, you get tired from time to time because there's a lot of travel, a lot of interviews, a lot of different things going on, and you feel the pressure sometimes. But I'm energized by it. I really am. I guess my competitive spirit by nature. You know, I'm very competitive, and I don't mind the fight at all because I think it's a great fight. It's a fight for student athletes who deserve to be to be in the forefront. This conference has done a great job. So no, it can it can get to you sometimes. But I tell you, I am energized by the fight. No question about it.
Is it almost like an attorney defending a client, and maybe in some cases?
To some extent. I think it's more interesting, frankly, than some of those P5 jobs.
They're boring compared to yours.
You're building something. You're fighting hard for a group that, and you're building. We were in almost bankruptcy reorganization, so to speak. 6 years ago, where the conference was just a complete mess. Nobody knew what was going to happen, and we built something. Now we're a thriving conference, almost like a company coming out and thriving after having a tough time. And I'm just proud of what these institutions have done, and Memphis among them. I mean, Memphis is in fact foremost among them. As I said before the football championship game, the focus is on UCF these days. Obviously, with the 25-game winning streak, it was 24 at the time. But Memphis helped build this league in a very fundamental way. Your win against Ole Miss a few years ago was probably the seminal win in our conference under Justin Fuente. When Ole Miss had just beaten Alabama, what you did that season, what you did in subsequent seasons, what you did in the championship games against UCF, which were incredible games. I know you came up on the short end of them, but what Memphis did, and now what Memphis is going to do in basketball, with Penny there, and what David Rudd has done in terms of rejuvenating the institution, and Tom Bowen, the great job he's done as AD, and then having a seamless transition, which is hard to do, between Justin Fuente and Mike Norvell. Same thing at UCF. So I give Memphis a lot of credit. I give Houston credit. I give Temple credit. And that's the whole point. It's not just one school that's done this. It's not just UCF. It's a bunch of schools. And I'm just very proud of what they've accomplished. And we've done it with a good record of compliance and with great kids. I love the kids on these teams. I get to meet them. So, it's been more fun doing this. I programmed P5 football for 30-something years at ESPN and CBS. I know all about the P5, and we can play with them, and we're as good or better than them on many occasions.
Mike, we obviously have talked a lot on this show, as you can surmise, about UCF and their winning streak and just sort of the difficulty that they have had getting the respect across the country, both by the committee of the College Football Playoff rankings and just, you know, media in general. And I'm sure you've probably caught wind today of the comments that SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said earlier, which is that if UCF wants to be in the playoff, then the league needs to look inward. UCF needs to look inward. What would be your response to that?
Nonsense. Utter nonsense. We schedule P5 teams all the time. We have a tremendous – I don't know what he's talking about. By the way, I like Greg, good man, but I didn't hear his comments today. I came later to the seminar, and I saw a couple of the panels. I had some other things to do earlier. But the point is we have played tough schedules. We play some of the best teams in the country. UCF, when they scheduled North Carolina, thought, you know, they were the team that almost beat Clemson a few years ago. You know, obviously they beat a Pitt team soundly that almost beat Notre Dame. Looking inward, I don't know what he's talking about. This is a terrific conference. Every coach that comes in talks about how good we are. Pat Narduzzi said he'd rather play Notre Dame than us. He said nobody wants to play UCF. And Sonny Dykes talked about going up and playing Michigan and comparing them to UCF. And I think UCF comes out better. I don't understand that comment. We deserve to be in the playoff. This is 25 straight wins. And I was talking to a really great player from one of the teams that's in the playoff. And he's a wonderful young man. And when he found out who I was, somebody pointed it out, I guess, to him. He said, wow, what UCF has done, that's hard to do. He said, we had some games where we didn't win and we should have won. I don't care who you play, and that's what I've said, 25 straight wins and many good teams beating Auburn, and they'll have a very, very stern test with LSU. But, again, there's the old, Gandhi statement. Gandhi said, well, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win. And maybe now we're in the fighting stage. But I don't want to fight the P5. I don't want to be part of that group. I think we've earned it.
Mike, I don't know how you look inward and fix it inward when the good P5s won't play you. I mean, that's just the real of it. You can't schedule these guys. They won't play you, will they?
Well, they won't play some of our better teams
right
now. Now, Grant Temple does have a home-and-home with Penn State. We have a home-and-home with Oklahoma, Temple, and so does Tulane.
But
Stanford's coming to UCF next year. Houston's got some great series coming up, Washington State, Colorado, Utah. We have, actually, fellas, we have 158 games, and I counted them myself, and it may even be more now, against the so-called P5 over the next 10 years. And that's different levels of the P5, some of their top teams. But,
right.
It is, like you said, it's how do you get an Alabama or Michigan or those guys to do home and homes? And I'm not – we don't want our best teams to do bye games. That's not who we are, period. So, if anything, I would look at the P5 and say, how about playing us?
That's what
how
I'm saying.
How about treating us – now, the Big Ten treats us that way. They treat us – you get credit when you play the Big Ten for a top, intersectional opponent. And I admire Jim Delaney for doing that. And we have a lot of games against the Big Ten. And we have Wisconsin coming down to USF next year. Again, I mentioned the Temple-Penn State series. Some of their best teams do play us, and I really admire them greatly. I also – the ACC, we have a ton of games against good ACC teams. We've got some against the SEC. More on the road than at home. Big 12 we play. We play TCU every other year, or every year, every other year at home, SMU. We'd like to schedule even more of their better teams, and we're not afraid of them, that's for sure. Look, we play Notre Dame. Temple almost beat Notre Dame. Navy did beat them a few years ago. We play the best teams. We're willing to go anywhere and play anyone as long as we can get some kind of reciprocity. The USF 2-for-1 with Florida is terrific. Florida's going to be in their building. They'll have to go there twice. That's fine. We're building this league. We understand you have to do some of that stuff. That's what Bobby Bowden had to do years ago. So, we'll just keep fighting. But this conference has nothing to apologize for in terms of what it's done.
No question. We are, of course, talking to Mike Oresko. He is the commissioner of the AAC. Mike, how optimistic are you about the upcoming new television deal? I know there's probably not a lot you can say, but just how optimistic are you about, your conference getting the respect it deserves on that front?
Well, you're right. I can't talk about it, but I can say that I have a level of optimism. I think we've Fortunately, we've reached a new high with just ahead of the negotiation, which is always good. I don't think the league's ever been more nationally relevant, and it's never been better. And it's not just football now; it's men's basketball. You can see what we're doing there. We're probably a year away from being one of the best conferences in the country in men's basketball. Women's basketball, you saw what UConn did the other day. We're not falling off there either. So I have reason, to be optimistic. But again, you never know in these negotiations. I can't give you any details. And we're getting, getting ready. We've spent a lot of time on it. Fortunately, we have a terrific product now. And you saw our rating against the SEC championship game. It was quite healthy. Hard to do against one of the best ratings of the year. Well, the best rating in the last 10 years. And yet we held our own and did well. So I think people notice that. And, we've got a lot of great things going on in this conference, and that's what you need. Content is very important to the networks. We have a great relationship with ESPN. That's the key. ABC, ESPN's been very good to us. Championship game on ABC 4 straight years. Great Thursday, Friday exposure on ESPN, ESPN2, including a lot of games generally on those networks. So it's been a great relationship, and obviously we hope it continues. But there's a lot out there, and we'll see what happens.
I do want to go back to that championship game, Memphis UCF from last week, and it was a terrific game. There were three flags picked up in the game, and each one went in favor of UCF. Obviously, here in Memphis, that did not go over well with Memphis fans. I'm just curious, did you hear from Memphis fans, and if so, what was your response?
No, I didn't, but I knew about it, and I didn't hear directly from fans, but I did hear about it, and we looked into it. I talked to our officiating people and our head of football operations, and I don't want to get too into the weeds on this because I don't get involved in officiating decisions, but I every now and then you might want to know what happened, of course, and one of them, again, the officials just felt, I think it was a fellow being pushed out of bounds right at the line where you're going out of bounds. I guess the officials felt that wasn't a penalty. There was another block that I guess they felt ultimately was a legal block, and there may have been one call that
the hold
could have, they could have kept the flag on the field. Look, it is unusual, I guess, to have three picked up. Certainly, you can go several games without that happening. Just it did happen, but again, our officials play it straight down the middle. They just use their best judgment, and in the end, again, officiating is very important, and you never want to see officiating ultimately, have an impact one way or another on a game. But again, it was just a terrific game, and give UCF credit. They scored 5 touchdowns in the second half and somehow held Memphis and Darrell Henderson. I don't know quite how they did it, because he just tore them apart in the first half. And it was a brilliant game plan, I thought, by Mike Norvell, the Wildcat and the way they played. It's just one of those things. They played at the mirror image of the game out in Memphis, it seemed, except I guess UCF scored a little more in the second half in this particular one. And of course, they were at home as well. And obviously, home field advantage is valuable, but you can see why we do it, because you get great crowds. And you've seen it in other conferences where they play at neutral fields and don't. But, again, all I would say is, the officiating in our league has been very good. You look around college, we all know some of the things that have happened in officiating in some of the P5 conferences. I don't need to get into them. And we've avoided that, and I know the Memphis fans, were upset, about some of the calls, and I understand if you're a fan, you're going to be. But again, I think our officials overall have done a really fine job all year.
Mike, I think you could probably make it up to Memphis fans if you could pull some strings, make sure that Darrell Henderson wins the Doak Walker tonight. What do you think? You think you can do that?
Oh, I'd love to see him win it.
He needs to win it. Yeah.
I mean, what a player. I've said all year, I think he's the best back in the country. I don't think they'll face a back anywhere near as good in the LSU game, and I'm sure LSU's got some good running backs. But the point is, he reminds me so much of Emmitt Smith. He glides, He glides, he's fast, he finds the hole. I hate to have to defend him. And again, I don't know how UCF did it in that second half, because or the second half in the Memphis game, because he is just one great player. I hope he wins it. And it would be wonderful for him, Memphis, and for the conference.
Oster, I want to go back to something you said about basketball earlier. I've got the same question down. I sense a huge surge next season for basketball in this league, Mike, and I think you said it earlier that maybe think I heard you say might be one of the best conferences in the country next year. It feels sort of like a rebuild. I hate to use that term because you may have some teams have some special seasons this year. But next year you look at it with Hurley expected to get it back to where it is at UConn, you know, Penny, everybody in the class they've got coming in, Mick doing his thing, Wichita State and Greg, and the quality of coaches, Mike, it looks like a 5-6, maybe even more bid league. And do you think that's sustainable? Do you agree with me next year is a big year for the conference in basketball, and is it sustainable?
Absolutely, and yes to the second question. It's absolutely sustainable.
Yep.
There's no question that we will be a really good basketball conference, and the reason is because we've now assembled an unbelievable group of head coaches. The resources are there. The conference has always had a pretty good basketball pedigree, and unlike football, and knock on wood, but we haven't lost any coaches this year in football. It's like we're going into all our bowl games with our coaches intact, which is nice. But in basketball, we haven't had any issue keeping coaches. It's a great league. Yeah. The coaches love to coach in this league. Also, I don't think it'll be a rebuild. I think this year is actually the rebuild because at our teams, yeah, the only one that seems to have, you know, seniors that are really going to have an impact would be UCF, which is one of our better teams. But if you look at UConn, you know, with his recruiting, they'll be all that much better next year.
Mm-hmm.
Penny might have the best team in the country next year. I don't want to jinx them. You know, the point is Wichita State has to rebuild this year with young players who are going to come along as the season goes on. The same thing, Houston had lost Rob Gray, but they're very strong this year, and they're a young team. Cincinnati lost a lot of players from last year, but they're doing very well. Temple's done extremely well. Look at the coaches. You know, again, you're not going to have a drop-off. SMU's finally got its scholarships back. The bottom of our league will be far better with Joe Dooley at ECU, with Ryan Gregory, you know, at USF,
mm-hmm.
Mike Dunleavy at Tulane, our RPI, I don't even call it that anymore, but it's going to be far better. I'm probably over Tulsa, just beat Oklahoma State yesterday. This is going to be a dynamic basketball league. Absolutely. I think we have six or eight teams that will be in tournament contention.
Okay.
Hope we can, you know, and I'm hoping this year, which is a transitional year because we lost so much from last year, and there's rebuilds going on at UConn and Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we can get multiple teams this year. And then the future in men's basketball just is extremely bright. And women's basketball, UConn, and there's some other teams like USF and Tulane that are going to fight, and you know, we'd like to get Memphis in that mix. So, again, I think the overall prospects are very good.
No, Mike, I'm with you 100%. It's going to explode next year for AAC basketball. I got that final question, just what have you thought about what Penny Hardaway sort of brought to the table in terms of brand for the AAC, in terms of you've seen the recruiting class. What have you thought about his first few months on the gig?
Well, you can't overstate it. I'm thrilled to have him. I love his manner, too. You know, he's just got a wonderful manner, and he's very modest and you know, just lets his actions and his coaching speak for itself. The fact that those kids are committing to Memphis shows that they really – you know, love and respect him. You know, when James Wiseman decides to come, that means that he had great experiences, you know, with Penny. I congratulate David Rudd and Tom Bowen. It was a tough thing. You know, Tubby's has a great pedigree and a wonderful coach. You know, had a great career. But this was just the move Memphis had to make. And the fact that he's there and the fact that the fans are behind him, it galvanized the whole program. And they'll be, you know, again, they've already improved. You can see the hired great assistants. I can't overstate what it's done for the league. You know, it's put our basketball, you know, firmly on the map, just as Dan Hurley did at UConn. I mean, these are two, you know, blue blood programs. You know, Memphis goes back further than UConn, way further. And UConn, you know what they've done over the last 20 years. So they're two programs that you want to have in the forefront along, you know, with Cincinnati and others. Houston had a great history in the old days. And now we've got all our teams really poised, I think, to do well. Temple's another one with a great pedigree. So, again, what he's done has been really terrific, and I wish him all the best.
Mike, this was a real pleasure. We appreciate the
time. Thank you for your time,
sir. Busy. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, have a great holiday season and New Year, and my best to the community in Memphis. You know, I know it was the tough one in the championship game, but give Memphis credit, too. That was a fine football team. Had some ups and downs this year, but it's a relatively young team, and Mike Norvell has done an outstanding job, and, you know, we wish him well in the Birmingham Bowl. And good luck, and, again, everybody have a great holiday season. Thank you for having me.
Mike, appreciate same to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He is Mike Oresko, AAC Commissioner. I got to tell you, I'm impressed by the fact that he basically knows everything that is going on in Memphis the way he does. I mean, he knows James Wiseman. You know, like he's like name dropping James Wiseman. I'm not. I don't know. Like, do you think most commissioners could like do that? I don't know. Maybe they could. But
you know when one of your league's teams picked up the number one prospect in the country.
True.
You pay
that's
attention.
That's true.
Yes.
Listen.
Appreciate you asking the question about the flag.
Well, I had to. I would have felt irresponsible had I not. You know, there's nothing that he can say
that's going to make it okay. Yeah, or make it right. And you know, make Memphis fans feel better.
He's not going to come on here and say, yeah, you know what? Memphis got
John. He gave you the holding, though, the defensive holding. You heard it. I mean, I almost want to go back and get the replay of that.
He did. You're right.
The defensive holding was it was all crazy.
I appreciate his candor.
But he hit it. I got to give him credit for that.
He is a good leader for a conference that needs somebody willing to fight.
Because that's all you're doing in that job, John.
No
question. You nailed it with the first question. That dude's got to be tired all the time. You're waking up every morning without the respect that your comments deserve, right? That's your job, to go out and get respect. I mean, you've basically, that's literally what he does every day. It's a fight. I mean, I'd ask him, you know, I'm sure right now, you know, Memphis fans feel like he's fighting a little bit more for UCF. But to your point, come on. Right now, they're the hottest thing on the block in football. It's his job to push them. Get that.
Yeah, and
the holding call was a joke. He admitted it.
I will say this. Obviously, and by the way, breaking news, Vernon Carey Jr. just committed to
Duke. Oh,
Mike Krzyzewski gets another one.
I should have known.
Vernon Carey committed to Duke just a second ago. But I will say this. Listen, you would have wanted to win the championship game, right, if you're Memphis. You want to beat UCF. You want to win the championship game. But if I told you, hey, I'll give you $4 million if you lose this game. You'll take it. You'll take that. Because, I mean, frankly, like, you don't get the $4 million if Memphis wins. It's just true. You know? Because UCF's not in an access bowl. So that's just something to consider. Yes, you lost the game. Yes, it was controversial. But you get $4 million for your worries. If I told you right now, Jason, I need you to lose whatever it is you're doing, and I'll give you $4 million. What you going to say?
Your fantasy matchup this weekend.
Yeah. I need you to lose your fantasy matchup. Now, obviously, he's going to probably lose anyway. So, you know, it's a little different there. Mm. But $4 million.
I need one more thing.
What?
Daryl Henderson wins the Doak Walker tonight.
I can't make it happen.
If you can make that happen, I'll take the $4 million.
I mean, should he win the Doak? I mean,
it's him and the guy from Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
Well, I'm saying,
why shouldn't he win it? He's got the highest per carry.
I'm just asking.
They were
a
better team.
Do we expect him to win the Doak?
Jonathan Taylor beat him out by like 80 yards. But if you look yards per carry, it ain't even close.
Right.
We need to get on this.
Yeah.
Daryl Henderson should win the Doak tonight in Atlanta. And if he doesn't, it's highway robbery.
I'm worried.
I'm serious.
I'm worried about that.
They're just going to give it to Duke because it's Wisconsin's P5.
Well, and he has more running yards.
It's like 80 yards.
I know.
The yards per carry aren't even close. You got that pulled up? We'll pull it up after the break.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Because Daryl leads in yards per carry.
But appreciate Mike Oresco for joining us there in that last segment. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
How your teeth look can affect how you feel about yourself, and with today's advancements in dentistry, it's easy to change that appearance in just a few simple visits. Yes, you really can get a wider smile in less than 2 hours, and you won't ever dread going to the dentist anymore. Not after you check out the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby in the Forum Building. The Smile Center, it is central to everything, and it's also comfortable and convenient. And this is Gary Parrish telling you, I'm speaking from experience. This is where my family goes. It's where your family should go. So if you're looking for a dentist, or if your dentist doesn't even know your name, call Dr. Mady Sadeghi. He and his staff, they make it really easy to take care of your smile, whether you're in need of a routine cleaning or something more cosmetic. That's the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby. You can get more information at SmileCenterMemphis.com. That's SmileCenterMemphis.com, or call today to make an appointment. 309-1333, 309-1333. It's the Smile Center, taking comfort to a whole new level.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Joe Choate started Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing 60 years ago in 1958 with the mission to be honest, fair, and trustworthy to each customer, to do every job like it were his very own. Now his grandsons, Saul and Brian Choate, run the company with the same morals that their dad and grandfather instilled in them. To celebrate our 60th anniversary, Choate's would like to offer a $60 tune-up special to all our heating, air conditioning, and plumbing customers.
We are also offering a 60-month, no-interest financing on select Carrier HVAC systems and new water heater installations starting at just $60 a month. Call 755-4797 today to take advantage of our 60th anniversary specials. And remember, Choates, let our family serve your family.
Hey, it's Eric Hasselton from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
JJ Hottail here for Direct Auto and Life Insurance. You wouldn't go to the beach without sunscreen.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
So why go driving without auto insurance? Maybe you think because you have a lapse in coverage, you can't get a great rate. Well, put your sunscreen on and head over to Direct Auto to speak with a friendly local agent near you. Don't go without. Go with Direct. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today. Direct General Group, Nashville, Tennessee. Premium and pay plans vary. Costs may vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. When was the last time you were downtown for dinner? Why don't you stop by and see us? We're located on Main Street between Madison and Monroe Avenue with parking on Front Street. Stop by happy hour daily at our bar from 4:30 to 6:30, featuring $2 off all wines by the glass, all bottled beer, and daily $5.50 cocktail specials. We also offer one of the largest bourbon lists in the city. Enjoy our small bites like the Oysters of Love and house-smoked salmon deviled eggs. Check us out at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
Only 25 cents.
Oh, my goodness, a fortune teller machine.
Oh, here, put this in.
Soon, your high blood pressure will require very expensive prescription drugs.
Your blood pressure?
How did he know about that?
I see everything.
Let's get out of here.
You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. Have questions about affordable Part D prescription drug plans? Give us a call or visit fbhealthplans.com. Farm Bureau Health Plan, we've got you covered.
What if football didn't have to end? This February, it doesn't. The Memphis Express begins its inaugural season as a member of the Alliance of American Football. Professional football is back at the Liberty Bowl and led by Hall of Famer and head coach Mike Singletary. Experience it for yourself with season tickets as low as $75. Visit memphis-express.com today to get on board. That's memphis-express.com. Professional football is back in the city of Memphis.
Get your jump on with today's perks deal. Half off 2 hours of jumping fun at Get Air Trampoline Park in Collierville. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Live Love Memphis Group of REMAX Experts are the official realtor of your Memphis Grizzlies. Official realtor, too, of the J&J Show. They're our realtor. They're my realtor. Got me out of my old home I thought I never could sell. Boy, was I wrong. All I did was hand it over to Jennifer Carstensen, the folks at Live Love Memphis Group of REMAX Experts. All they did, John Martin, was get it sold and then get me in the house of my dreams out in God's country, John. It is fantastic.
Absolutely incredible. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, bro. It's been great. Been out there a couple of months now.
I know you're enjoying. I mean, once
8 weeks.
Once the spring rolls around, folks can come, start playing golf, right?
No, it's a retired golf course.
Oh, okay.
They actually like play soccer golf out there.
Although you can watch people do that.
Well, I don't want to.
Back, okay. They do things differently at Live Love Memphis. They offer a ton of extras they don't feel are extra at all, and they don't charge extra for it. And that's why they've sold over 1,100 homes in 10 years, and they are just getting started. They sell a home every 2 days. Let yours be next.
We'll sell yours, find your dream home as well. If you go to their site, it's livelovememphis.com. Again, livelovememphis.com. Or you can call them at 901-685-6000. Again, 685-6000. The person to call is the person I said earlier, Jennifer Carstensen. She's got a magnificent team working with her. Did a great job for me. They'll do the same great job for you. The Live Love Memphis group at RE/MAX Experts. Simply the best in Memphis.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. So tonight, obviously, the Doak Walker Award
will
be handed out. What can you tell me about Doak Walker, Jason?
Born in 1927.
Okay, what can you tell me about him?
I don't know. He won the Heisman. I'm assuming in some year long ago. I mean, why am I supposed to know some Doak Walker history?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you're
just the award. It's the guy on the
running back.
John, I'm yes.
He was named, the award was named after, you know, Doak Walker. So I feel like you're a very proud person when it comes to your history.
Again, special running back way before my time, though, John. This one is one, yeah. This isn't any Leroy Horde here.
No, this is not Leroy Horde. This is more like Les Smith territory here. Let me give you a little bit of background on Doak Walker before we get to the numbers.
See, that, yeah.
He was a half. No,
that
no,
was
no.
a setup.
He was a halfback. He was a kicker. He was a punter.
He did it all.
He did it all. He played. He was a number three overall pick in 1949. Jason.
Okay. That's the information we needed to know.
By the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was a Marine. He joined the Merchant Marine, and 2 days after he was discharged from the Merchant Marine, he appeared in his first college football game for Southern Methodist University. So now you know. He went on to become a two-time NFL champion, a five-time Pro Bowler, a five-time first-team All-Pro member. He was the NFL Rookie of the Year in 1950, and his number 37 jersey is retired by the Lions.
I don't care how good Doak Walker was. I care about whether Darryl Henderson's going to win it or not.
Wow.
How selfish is that? It's selfish
that is,
and
that
real,
is disrespect.
Bro. No, it's not.
All right, so if you don't care about your history, then we can just move on to the future. Obviously, tonight that award will be handed out. And we all kind of agree. There's three finalists. There's a
yeah, who's the third one?
I think his name is Travis
he's not
Etienne.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a sophomore from Clemson.
Clemson, the Clemson running back.
Yeah, so it's gonna come down to Jonathan Taylor, who's at Wisconsin.
Nation's leading rusher.
Yep, and it's going to come down to Darryl Henderson.
The number two man.
Who had a, 200-something yard game against UCF?
Yes, and he's, 80 yards behind Taylor.
210. Yeah, so let's do the tail of the tape here. Okay?
Yeah, let's do it, because Henderson needs to win this Doak.
In rushing yards, Jonathan Taylor has amassed 1,989 to Darryl Henderson's 1,909. That means Jonathan Taylor is ahead by 80 yards.
Okay, I'd already said that. Thank you.
Now, what's the next most important category? That's
what you can give Jonathan Taylor now.
What's the next most important
I want to know. I've been talking about yards per carry where Daryl's got him. Give it to me.
Yards per attempt for Jonathan Taylor, 7.1. For Darryl Henderson, 8.9.
That 8.92 per carry is the best among all running backs with at least 125 rushing attempts. Listen to that.
You want to know something else that's not considered? Darryl Henderson also is sharing some carries with another great running back in Patrick Taylor.
Amen, brother.
Now, I don't know what Jonathan Taylor, I don't know what the Wisconsin football program, I mean,
it doesn't matter. He beats them head up, so it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't matter whether they run another guy or not. This guy's part of the best, I mean, basically, certainly for our money, the best rushing offense in the country.
Well, I just want to see, like, can the same be said for Wisconsin? I don't know. Let's see.
I mean, the carries will tell you the story.
Yeah, so
what you need to
there's
know.
A guy named Taiwan Deal who had 72 carries, and a guy named Garrett Groshek who had 62 carries.
That's nothing compared to what our man got, right? What our man Big Pat got.
I'm how many carries do you think he got? Over 100? Because, I mean,
by the end of the season, they were getting 20-something apiece, 19, 18.
Yeah, so
you'd run the ball 50 times.
Just in the interest of fairness, Patrick Taylor had 178.
There you go. Boom.
He had 178. So, yes.
That's a lot of carries taken away from Darrell Henderson there.
Right. Yeah, it was.
So, he clearly would have led the country in rushing yards by far.
Yes.
The yards per carry are what trumps it to me, and he's got him on touchdowns as well, John, does he not? That's another important category.
So, 15 touchdowns for Jonathan Taylor to 22 for Darrell Henderson.
Do y'all hear me?
These are all on the ground.